We're very thankful this evening, this afternoon, rather, to be with every person on the call, and for those who may be visiting with us from other congregations or not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. To those who are not members of the Lord's Church, we want you to know you're the VIP of our call. We appreciate you so very much. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the hill called Calvary, where he died to shed and shed his blood and to wash man's sins away. That same blood purchases church. The church ever read about the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. If you believe that he died and was buried and rose again, that's the beginning of your steps. Hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Son of God, then being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, then the Lord will add you to the one church, the Church of Christ. There you must live faithful unto death. This evening, rather this afternoon, we're continue our study of the book of Ephesians for a few minutes this afternoon. We're going to look at the new man. In chapter 4, verse 17, we'll pick up there we left off last time. Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." He's saying, "I therefore," now this is a carried over based on what he talked about, the unity of spirit. He talked about there were one God, one Lord, how the church was prepared by God. He gave apostles and all the evangelists and pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, those type of things that he had been talking about. And then he says, therefore, now since I've told you all is in place for you to grow as a Christian. And he said, now I'm going to tell you this. You need to know that so that you don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind, meaning their lives were life of the waste, vanity, meaning. It was a meaningless thought process they had, vanity of their mind. They were living that sinful lives. They had not abandoned sin. They was continuing in sin. And these are the things that God has, because Jesus, God has put in place in the church the things we need. These are the things we must be aware of, and we can't live that way. In verse 18, he says, but here's the problem they had. He said, the other Gentiles walk. In their walk, he said, they had having an understanding dark of me. When something's dark, you can't see the truth. They couldn't see the light. They're falling in darkness. That's what happens when you are not living a life in walking in light, being led by the word of God. The Bible teaches that if we walk in the light, as he's in light, we have fellowship with one another. God is in light. 1 John 1, verse 5 and following verses. So we must follow light. The light is the word of God. When you ain't seeing, you're not following the word of God. Then that was a life that was a wasted life at the time they were living. In the vanity of their mind, doing things willfully in their own way. Then he says, secondly, these people were alienated from the life of God. They were alienated, which means they were without the spiritual life that comes from knowing God. So they are separated from God. And it was separated through the ignorance in them. Because, he said, the ignorance in them was because of the blindness of their heart. He said, ignorant means you, when a person is ignorant, they use the word ignore. They do not. They've ignored God's way and gone about to have their own way. And so that provides them, Paul describes them as having a blindness of their heart. The idea is their heart was blinded to the truth. They were living in darkness. They were separated from God by the sins. And so these people are in a bad situation with their spiritual life. It's all because of their mind. They have not been following the word of God. So all of us on the call who are Christians, the only way we're going to continue to grow spiritually, as we talked about all the things last time, about all the things he gave us in the church to grow. If we don't follow the light, if we don't look for the truth and make sure we're not ignorant of what God teaches us. How do you do that, Brother Brooks? By being studious, by becoming a Christian, studying your word, and not only studying the word of God, We have to apply it, and that's how we avoid ignorance. In Ephesians 4:19, continue to talk about these Gentiles. He said, who being past filling, have given himself over to lasciviousness to work all works, all uncleanness and greed with greediness. These people, when he says having who being past filling, this mind, the mindset they had, their conscience was not bothering them. They was giving themselves over to lasciviousness, this sinful, lustful living, and to work all uncleanness and greed. So their whole life at that point, they had turned it over to, like in Romans chapter 1, what Paul talked about, those who God had turned over. They gave them over to a reprobated mind. These people in that same state right here, their conscience is not bothered, their silence. They're continuing to live in sin. So as Christians, brothers and sisters, the only way we're going to grow and avoid getting this state that Paul is talking about here is being studious, study the Bible, follow the light, make sure we're not ignorant of God's will. And then your conscience will work in your favor. Your conscience will accuse you or excuse you. Romans 15, 2:15, excuse me. So that's what you want working. So he said now in verse 20, with this description, he said, but you have not so learned Christ. The Gentiles at that point had not learned what it was to be a Christian. If these people are living like this, they don't know Christ. They haven't learned about Christ. Christ, a Christian who lives a Christian life, we live with the Paul told Philippians, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk about some of those here in a minute, some of the characteristics that he sees. So when you live in that way, it doesn't represent Christ the way he just described it. These people were walking as Gentiles, vanity in their mind. Their understanding was darkened. They was alienated from God. They was ignorant of the truth. Their hearts were blind. And now he deals with their feeling, how they turned themselves over to this sinful way of living. And it's all because you have not learned, you have not so learned Christ. When we learn Christ, then we start living like Christ. We look at the man in the mirror. And then you look at how Christ lives. Christians, we should look much like the way Christ lives in our behaviors, our conduct, all the things we're getting ready to talk about here in a minute as I get to my sermon title. In verse 21, he said, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. So here's the stages. You got to hear the Lord. You got to be taught by the Lord. Because Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So with that being said, they have not learned Christ. And the only way we're going to learn, brothers and sisters, Christ is that we hear his word. We are taught his word. People who will not grow in the Lord, they're not going to grow to be stronger spiritually. They're not going to put away behaviors that they know are not pleasing to the Lord because they're not hearing him. They're not being taught by him. So when we teach the New Testament, we're teaching the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9. So whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine, that doctrine means the teachings of Christ, hath not God. This person, everything we learn in the New Testament is called the doctrine of Christ or the apostles' doctrine. So the apostles learned from Christ, and Christ taught them, and the Holy Spirit guided them to write these teachings in what we call the New Testament. So if you're on the call today, you don't feel like you're growing, but are you listening? Are you hearing him? Are you being taught? Or are you just going through this routine every week of getting on the call and listening to the word, but you're not taking it in and applying it to your life? I mean, some people just go to worship on Sunday morning or one of the services just so they can hear the word, take the communion, and they feel like they've done something. So are you hearing? You have to hear him. You have to be taught by him. And here's what he teaches. Paul says in verse number 22, here's one thing you have to do. Put off concerning the former conversation, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So if you heard him, you start listening to Jesus, you start putting off what the old person before you got baptized, that old man. If you've heard him, then you know him. You know what he taught you to be. He taught you how to live. And you put off that conversation of concern, the former conversation, the old man is the old sinful one that was in his life. And he contrasts that with another one. So this first part of the verses here, he's saying to them, after he gave them all the discourse about the church being there for God has given you everything you need to grow spiritually. But here's the people who are not growing. These people he's identified here. These people who walk as Gentiles walk with advantage of their minds. Their understanding is dark. They're alienated from the life of God. They're blind in their heart. They've given themselves over to this lasciviousness, this works of greed to continue to willfully live in sin. Because they are not learning how to live the Christian life. And this is something that most of all I'm really trying to do now, is talk a lot about how to live this life. These Christian living is important. And there's going to be those sermons on there as well. But how we live is important. We don't want to just get baptized and then not live the life. And the only way you can live this life, you got to know your old man. You got to know how to identify your old you. The old you is the person that before you were a Christian, the way you lived, that sinful life you were living. But when you became a Christian, when you obeyed the gospel, when you were baptized for the remission of your sins, you should have a new walk, a new talk, a new life. That's what Paul says in verse 23. You got to have be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to be made a new thinking person, be made new in the spirit of your mind. What do you mean by that? Well, we cannot be conformed to the world. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed. There's a transformation takes place when you get baptized. That transformation is a transforming from that old to a new. And if you continue to do what you were doing in the world, you're conforming. But when you're transformed, you transform by starting to change your thinking, to renew your mind to a different way of thinking, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12 and verse 2. So here he is really getting ready to contrast the people. So the people who are going to go to heaven will be people who made these changes. These changes start in the mind. Now, why the mind? Why he said renew the spirit of mind? Because remember, you add God's word to your heart, and that's the same as your mind. The person, the place you think. And so when you add God's word to your heart, it renews, it starts you to think differently. It changes your mind. It gives you a new way of thinking, not the old way of thinking. So this all is about the new. The new way of thinking will be generated by the new way of living, the new way of studying, the new way of taking in, the new way of applying. Make sure you're not ignorant to the will of God. Make sure you're not blind. Make sure you're not walking in vanity. Make sure your understanding is not darkened. Seek light. Seek understanding. Seek God. And make sure you apply from the word of God, the things that you need to make these changes. So the mind has to change in order to be pleasing to the Lord. But when a person is willfully sinning, they're conforming to the way of the world. You know, it's not that you don't know what's wrong, but you're continuing to sin. And what Paul said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Romans 6, 1, to God forbid. We can't continue to sin. We can't willfully sin. If you really trying to grow, you will start working on the renewing of your mind in a way by taking God's word and living it and putting it in place to help you grow spiritually. Can you truly say that your mind has changed about the way you are. You've been renewed in the spirit of your mind. Can you say, can you look back at your life, the time before you got baptized, you look at that life, then you got baptized, you added to the Lord's church. Do you look at your life now? How does it look? What are your behaviors like? And Paul said, once I renew my mind, there's something I got to do. I got to put on a new man. Verse 24. That's my top, the new man. Put on this new man, which after God, see that? That's what he means. You got the righteous, the ungodly, the people who are righteous people. As David said about, he was a man after God's own heart, which means, was he perfect? No. Did he make mistakes? Yes. What did David do? Well, he knew sin, and he knew what God's way was to get his life right. He did some things, like we should do. If you know you've seen it, then you know what you have to do to get it right with God. And then David continued to pursue, even though he made some big mistakes. He sinned. He acknowledged his sin. And he followed God. And so the new man is in pursuit of living after God's order, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this new man is not like the old man. He who has a new mind with him is a new man. He's born again. That's a new person. You're the same person, but when you're born again, of the water of the Spirit, now you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and that's going to take you a totally different direction in life if you do what it says do. And the Holy Spirit is not going to take your hand and walk you and teach you. You're going to have to take the Word of God. When you study the Word of God, that's when the Spirit is giving you all the information you need in order to help you walk this life, this new man. And so Paul said there's a difference. Contrast that old man to this new man. Watch this now. Watch the new man now. Wherefore, since you are this new person after God, created in righteousness and true holiness, you've been born again of the water of the Spirit. You're following the light, which is the Word of God. Then he says, verse 25, put away lying. Yeah. So the old man lied. There's a new man who don't lie. He put away lying. He stopped. Then he starts speaking truth with him. He started telling the truth. Used to be a liar. Now he's telling. There's two people. The old man lied. New man tells the truth. Then you notice what sin is when you study the Word of God as we're doing today. And you know and identify those areas where you got to make changes. And so you can't be ignorant of what the changes are. You can't be ignorant of the sins that you're continuing in. You got to learn what to do and get about your life. Why, you're a new man. You've been born again. You're a Christian. You're a disciple of Christ. You're taught by Christ. You know the doctrine of Christ. The teachings of Christ will teach you these things. So you'll stop lying. Old man, new man is not a liar. He's the one who tells the truth. And then he says another verse, 26. A lot of people run to this verse when they want to justify being angry. Be ye angry and sin not. And he's saying, be ye angry. There's an emotion called anger. But don't let that take you to a sinful place. He said, don't even let it go down upon you. Let the sun go down upon your wrath. In Psalms 4:4, the Bible says, stand it off and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. What David was saying, then you got to think about what you're doing. That's why God gives us grace and mercy. He said, you know what? I had a thought. I was getting ready to get angry. You can feel when you get angry. You got to learn how to turn that anger off. It's called temperance. Every one of us can feel that anger coming on. Something about your inside starts to change. It's your mind. It's the triggers. You got to commune. If avoiding letting your anger get out of control, stop talking if that's what it takes. Start praying if that's what it takes. because you know you're a new person. These are things you got to change. So when the Bible says, I can get angry, well, let's keep reading, because we're going to show you something about the new man. And he said, don't do that, because, you know, life can end at any time. You got to learn how to get these things under control. And he said, don't even go to sleep like that. Let there be no long continuance of being in that state of anger. You got to turn it off. And then in verse 27, he said, now here's what, need to give place to the devil. If you hold it on to anger, you let the anger control your behavior, you're going to give place for the devil to move in and say, in your anger, if you don't get that thing under control, the devil going to move in. And the whole purpose of the devil moving in is to cause you to lose your soul. He know that's not the life God is going to be pleased with. He know if I can get him angry, I could probably get him to go to rest. I could keep saying something, keep nudging him, keep saying it, fight back, talk back. Do everything you can to keep this anger, this fuel going. Devil's not our friend. You know. So this new man know that, boy, if I don't get this control, I'm going to give the devil give place to the devil to come in, tempt, or change my state to get me in a place where I'm in sin, and that's what he wants. He's talking about the new man. This new man don't need to be angry. This new man don't do no wrong. This new man tell the truth. This new man catch himself before he let anger get into sin. The new man don't go to sleep like that. They get it right. They change their mind. The new man know who the enemy is. That's the devil. Notice verse 28, the new man. The new man, he let him the stove steal no more. The new man is not a thief. He may have used to steal, but the new man is not saying he's not stealing, because the new man is walking the walk of a Christian. And so he said, that person don't steal no more. He said, but rather let him labor. He said, Paul said, the old man stole, the new man go to work. He's working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need. There's a purpose for going to work. It's a purpose. Jesus, Paul is saying, hey, rather than steal, go work. There's nothing wrong with good, hard work, good, hard working people working with their hands, which is good, the Bible says. And then you can help somebody. You can't help somebody if you're always asking and begging for money. Or you have to still go to work. Go to work. Yeah, go to work. So this old man, this new man is not a lazy man. This new man is one who works. This new man is that man who is under control. He's getting his inner self under control. He used to lie. He tells the truth now. He's changed his life. He's controlling anger. He don't go to bed like that. He keeps his mind sober enough to know that the devil is looking for opportunity to come here, call me to lose myself. The new man is a working man. A man or a woman, they're working, they're not stealing, they're laboring with their hands. That's the new man. Then he said, the new man, verse 29, will let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So, corrupt communication, what is the corrupt communication is what you write. Anything that demoralizes others, talking down, talking bad, immoral language. Using foul language, saying things that you know will hurt people in a way that you hurt. And there are people who are slick with it. And everything is corrupt. It's a corrupt communication. It's a communication where you can, you know, like we call it sarcasm. Listen, people who are sarcastic, and they'll say one thing as if they're talking about themselves, and they're really talking about you, and they know they're putting you down in a way they're trying to do it slick. But then this is, you got people out there who will do corrupt things. I talked about that this morning. Like everything that we're dealing with, much of what we're dealing with in the world is evil, wrong. Everything that we speak, the new man, new woman is a Christian, and that Christian speak, what that Christian speaks should be that which is good to use of edify, to build up other people. if what you are arguing about or what you are talking about and the language you use is demoralizing, are you putting people down, are you stepping on people, are you talking down to people, or you're not saying something that's encouraging, you're rather being one who is saying things that's not going to build that person up. You know how we always say you got to be the bigger person? You ever heard that before? What does that mean? The bigger person. The bigger person does what's right for the other person. They're gonna do what's right. They'll take the low road. But then you have these people who use corrupt communication. So Paul said to these Christians, said, look here, you have been born again. You're a new Christian. You're a new creature. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, you won't be lying. You won't be getting angry and letting it lead you to sin. You won't give place to the devil. You won't steal. You work. And you'll control what you say and how you say it. This little thing called tongue and our mouth. The Bible describes it as a little rudder that can move a boat, a little piece of fire. That can burn up a whole kindling of fire, can burn up a whole forest. I always say this, be careful what you say, because words hurt. Words can hurt people. And words from your mouth is much like a bullet from a gun. Once you pull the trigger, no matter how much you say I'm sorry, how much you ask for forgiveness, once you pull the trigger, the damage will occur. So controlling your mouth, controlling your tongue is very important as a Christian. This new person is managing and controlling their thoughts. I mean, they're using God's word to guide their thoughts. They're also, this person is walking and following the teachings of Christ, and the teachings of Christ would never teach you to use these kind of languages and things like that. So this is very important. It's very important for us to understand what we're dealing with when it comes to being a Christian and this new man controlling what comes out of his mouth. We ought to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Meaning, I say it like this. All of us got two ears and one mouth. Think about that. We ought to do more listening than what the Lord tells us. To do more listening than we do talking. And then, something very interesting here about this new person. If they don't do this, if they can't live this kind of life, they're not following the things that Paul just talked about doing. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What? The Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. So the sins and the things that describe that we went through this even for a few minutes, the above the Bible refers to is grievous to the Holy Spirit. What is that saying? But, you know, we are guided by the Holy Spirit. It's against what the Holy Spirit teaches. We are sealed when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. The Bible says, Paul says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The seal, as I can describe, the best I can describe it to you all, is the seal is much like what Job had. A hedge around him. As long as we do it with the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit continues to provide that seal against sinful things. And Job was approached by the devil. And the devil will approach God about Job. God asked the man to consider my servant Job. He said, no, you got a hedge around it. was a protected hedge. He couldn't get to him. As long as we follow the word of God, which is given us by the Spirit, we're grieving the Spirit when we're not following what the Spirit has given us. But the Spirit has given us, as Jesus told the disciples, John 6:13, I'll be able to hear the Spirit of truth come. The Spirit has given us truth. The Spirit of truth. He will guide you in all truth. So everything we got in the New Testament came from the Spirit of God. If we grieve him, we'll lose our seal. Because what we're doing is going against the will of God at that time. In the last two verses in this, about this new man, it's kind of positive and negative. Verse 31 is a negative, and then a positive in verse 32. He said, and this is what I'll come back to from earlier. He said, and this new man, he didn't say, you know, it's okay to be bitter sometimes. It's okay to be angry sometimes. He's saying that he's closing his eyes. You know, up here he said, as you're growing, you be angry, start controlling it. And then you can't, he said, let all bitterness. There's no room in the heart of a Christian to be bitter, to have wrath. You get so mad, you want to do something. He said, let all. That all right there goes before bitterness, before wrath. Getting you so angry that you want to do something. Are you so angry that you lost control of your words and your mouth or saying things you know you shouldn't be saying? All bitterness, all wrath. Notice this. All anger. All of them. That's why I say people run to be angry tonight. But you keep reading. He's talking about a growing Christian. And it gets to a growth of period. If they got guided by the Holy Spirit, they're going to get to a point to where they let all this bitterness go. They don't let all the wrath go. They let all the anger go. That's right. That's right, Church of Christ. So don't just continue to think you can just continue to be like that and don't make the changes. Because if you are following the Spirit, you grieve and the Spirit continue to be like you are, you know that that's not pleasing to the Lord. He said, well, brother, what am I going to do about it? What were we talked about earlier? We have to learn to take the Word of God and let it guide us and start renewing our minds. Repent when you know you haven't made those changes, then go make those changes. You don't have to keep being bitter. You don't have to keep saying, well, I just got anger management. No, you need to follow the Word of God. Teaching that Christ wasn't like that. Christ wasn't like that. You want to be Christ-like. Yeah, that's right. And you can do it. If we couldn't do it, God wouldn't have put it in this book, I don't believe. I just don't believe he'd have been there. He'd give us everything we need. He gave us all the things we need to be godly, righteous. Never be bitter, because you should never be angry, or get so mad, shout angrily things, clamor, saying things that hurt people, or just have evil talking going on. It's sad to say, and I'm sure you like me know me, who call themselves Christians, and this is their demeanor most of the time. Most of the time. Do you know why? We just studied why. It's this walk of the Gentiles. And now here come the positive. He said, that's got to go, verse 31, that's still got to go. 32 says, here's what you need to do. Be kind one to another. Now, can you be kind and be angry shouting at each other one time? No, you can't. Can you be kind and be full of wrath or clamor, saying things that hurt, or just evilly speaking to people? You can't do that. Be kind one another. This is what the kindness, this is that being like Christ who was kind. Tenderhearted. A tender-hearted person is sensitive to hurting other people. It hurts you to hurt them. And then he puts this other one in the middle of those. Forgiving one another. When you have two people that are trying to get to heaven, husband, wife, brother, sister, mom and dad, whoever it is, church relationships, job relationships. There's a forgiving heart when two Christians know they do things to hurt each other or they've done something wrong. Those two forgive it. You can't expect the world to be in this mix. This is not about worldly people. This is the new man we're talking about. This person is a person that I'm saying forgiveness goes both ways. And here's why. The last part of this verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. You know, some people, and I'm closing now, but I've counseled many Christians. You just don't know what they've done to me. It's so hard to forgive them. It just, y'all pray for me. Pray for me that I can forgive. Maybe you need to think about it differently. Maybe you need to know that God has forgiven you over and over and over. And you want us to pray for you that you can forgive a person who's done you wrong. See, if you be like Christ, if you're like God, then you can forgive no matter what. Did Christ do it? Yes, he did. In the last 24 hours of his life, all the people mocked him. They said, crucify him, kill him. They whipped him, they spit on him, they slapped him, they did all these horrible things to him. They made him carry that tree up, they beat him with the whip, the tree of the cross. And I'm giving an invitation now. This is called the gospel. And all of that was being done so you could be forgiven. That's God so loving you. And for Christ's sake, he would forgive you. Because Christ had to go through all this so you and I could have forgiveness. So here it is. We're kind, we're tender-hearted. That's who Jesus was. And Jesus, after they hung him on that cross, and he suffered up there for 6 long hours in pain, excruciating pain on the cross. He screamed on the cross. Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, my God. Why you forsaken me? And he looked out at his accusers. He looked out at executioners. He looked out at the people who said, crucify him, crucify him. And you know what he was able to say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the ultimate example of love for those who are lost. It was Jesus on the cross. And so Paul in this context was saying to all of us today, there's an old life that won't get you to heaven. That's the old, that's the walk as a Gentile. The mind was in the vanity of their minds. They were dark in their understanding. They were alienated from God. They were blind in their hearts. They had given over to sinful living, uncleanness, and God-greediness, because they weren't learning from Christ. They weren't taught by Christ. They didn't learn what he taught, what he taught. And they had all come to the judgment. Paul was saying there was an old man, you're still acting like you are in the world. But your mind got to be renewed. And you got to start living this new life, this new man that lives after God and his righteousness and holiness. You stop lying. You start doing right. You changing your walk. This person, their minds are continually changing as they add God's word to their heart. They stop lying. They start telling the truth. There's a new person. You shouldn't have to walk around telling your friends and family, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian now. Hard to do it because they ought to see change. This new man is no longer get angry, control, lose control. This new man is walking and making sure he's not giving place to the devil to come in and steal his soul and take him into a different place. He don't steal. He works. Corrupt communication, his tongue is controlled. He's an edifier. She's an edifier. This person, understand the Holy Spirit gives us everything we need. The seal we don't want to lose. What seals us from losing our soul is the Holy Spirit of promise. And we grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not following that. The teachings of the New Testament. And then lastly, this new man. Stop making excuses. And do not allow bitterness to continue, wrath to continue, anger to continue, clamor or evil speaking, or malice. They go away. And then this new man then becomes a kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving person. So they already know. This new man was forgiven by God because of his son. If you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. I just talked to you about the gospel. The good news that Jesus hung there and died on the cross. Number one, you have to hear it. Acts 15 verse 7. You have to hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Number two, you got to repent. Excuse me, hear, believe. And then number three, you got to repent. You got to change your mind. You got to say, I don't want to continue to live this life of living. I want to make a change. Well, that starts in your mind. It's called repentance. You ready for change. You ready to walk this walk as a Christian. Then you be willing to make a confession of your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And once you make that confession before men, as Jesus has commanded, and we confess him before men. But one thing about it, if you don't confess it, then, as long as you got a knee, you're going to bow. Every knee will bow, every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is. So you're going to confess it. You're going to confess it. You might as well do it while the blood running warm in your body. Then after you confess and be the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And that baptism, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins. Revelation 1:5 tells us that the blood will wash away your sins. And it washes away, according to Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise, what time is now? Be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then the new man arise to walk in newness of life. And when you come up out of that water, when you break the water of the grave of baptism, you take your first birth as a new creature, born again, regenerated, an heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. If you want all that, you hit 5-star on your phone and let us know you want to walk this new walk. Or perhaps you may be a Christian. And you've been baptized. And you're a member of the Lord's church. But you know you haven't grown. And you know your lack of growth because of your lack of studies and attention to add God's word to your heart. And add it, not just hearing it, but then changing, renewing it, letting it renew your way of thinking. And maybe you need prayer for us to pray with you for something you're going through. Or maybe you need to make a confession. Or maybe you need to just, you might have some, you lost a loved one. You may know someone need prayer. We're going to get ready to do that now. Get ready to sing a song of encouragement. We encourage you to hit 5-star on your phone. If you need prayer, you need a confession, or you know how to be baptized, do it now. We're going to sing a song of encouragement.